Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Yes, it's Dr. Annette, the publishing pusher. I am back this week. We've had some exciting shows in this new season, and I love when I have the opportunity to dig back and grab an author or two that I thought we had a really dynamic connection and interview and bring them forward again so that they can share what's going on in their world as well as their creativity and craft. I want to remind you, we talk here about the author, what the author is doing in the business realm, what kind of entrepreneurial aspects are they working to build, and also what are we doing in the kingdom, which is imperative for our success and alignment in the Lord. So I'm excited today to introduce to everyone, this is Ann Jolina, and you go by another name sometimes. Your book has a different name on it.
Yes, so my book says Ann Linares because that's my first and last name, but sometimes I go by Angelina because my middle name. Angelina as one word means messenger, so I like that.
Oh, I like that. All right, so Angelina, the messenger, is here today on with Dr. Annette Publishing Pusher. But we're really excited that we have her in the stage and that she's feeling better on today. So thank God for his healing power in her body and in her life. And today, I would like for us to kick off by you telling us, Jolina, a little bit about who you are. And what got you, what motivated you into the writing arena?
Sure. Well, I'm a single mom. I have stayed that way for quite a long time now on purpose because I feel like I hit this point in time where when I came to Christ, I just needed to be a bride of Christ for a while and, set those things aside and get my life in order with him. And it's been a really good time, but I currently work at a homeless shelter locally. It's a Christ-centered homeless shelter and do all kinds of side projects. Like I do Christian musical theater. We just wrapped up a show, Parables and Proverbs. I got to play the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. So that was fun. Quite a compelling experience. So I'm a creative. God made me a creative. I've done a lot of soul searching on why, because sometimes you sit down, you're like, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to put myself on a stage in front of a bunch of people? Why do I want to write books? Why do I feel like I just have to keep shouting Jesus? And, he kind of just built that from the ground up, from every experience in my life and brought me here. And I don't know, I'm just obedient and loving the Lord. I don't know if there's anything else that can majorly describe me.
Well, I remember one of the things I remember talking with you before is your very jovial personality. It sounds like that just goes well with Jolina. I want you to, when I interviewed you several seasons ago, back in 2020, you had your book out called Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey. I wanted you to share a little bit about that book today before we move into one of your newer projects, because I want those listening to understand that many authors don't just write one book. They work to create. Remember, she said she's a creative, to create varied projects that God has talented and gifted them to do.
Absolutely. And if I'm being honest, when I wrote Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, I thought it was going to be the only book I would ever write. And now that's just like a joke between me and God that I ever thought that, because he's kind of got like a backlog in my brain at this point. I had to turn one of my book ideas into a class just to get it out of my brain and make space for things. So Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, it turned out very quickly. It was one of the first books that I ever truly I'd written projects at home, like on my own for like healing and creativity, but like I truly published it, put it out there, And it turned out very quickly. God put something on my heart that, like, the only way I could make sense of it all was to write it all down. It just, like, spewed out of me. And I think 6 weeks, 350-page book. And when I went back, it was so funny because I did all of my my editing. Like, the second that I finished the first draft and I hit the period at the last sentence, I had this 5 seconds where I'm like, ah. And then, you know, the panic brain started to set in. Like, oh my gosh, what do I need to change? And I saved it. But then I spent the next month making all these changes and edits, and I didn't back it up on my extra USB like I was supposed to. So after about a month of making edits, my computer blew screen of death on me and lost every single edit that I did.
Wow.
So the only copy I had was the rough draft, but I had literally blessed my laptop with holy oil when I started writing that book because I was so scared of interference. And so I took that as God's way of saying, chill out, don't overthink this. And we're going to not change everything I'm trying to tell you to say. And now over time, I have gone back maybe every 6 months and just proofread it from new eyes, like fresh face, where it's not my thoughts just pouring out. It's me looking at something like I've never seen it before. And, you know, I'll tweak a sentence here or there to make it more clear, but I've never wanted to change the message. So that was good. But it was just all about the personal development journey that we go through with God. You know, that no grow go process. You can say it 100 different ways, but knowing Christ, like taking that leap of faith to accept him and then growing in our faith and then becoming a part of the larger body of Christ, you know, and fellowship and leadership and just outlining that process.
You know, in this particular book, Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, I read it. So it's been over 3 years since I have read your book. But one of the things I remember you talked about in the book was wellness, being well in your relationship, being well in your spirit. And I often talk about wellness to wealth and mm-hmm. saying that this is not about money.
Right.
This is not about money. So how do you see wellness to wealth in respect to what you're sharing in this particular book on A Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey?
Well, I believe that everybody has, you know, some people say three, but I say four components. There's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And they're all interwoven and interconnected. And I've noticed like that if you work on, you know, the physical, the mental, and emotional health components, the other areas may benefit a little bit, but spiritual health is the place that will benefit everything in all ways. If you focus on your spiritual health, not only are you going to improve your mental and emotional health, but you're also going to improve your overall self. Like everything trickles into it. It's like the highest form of your well-being. And so what I've come to learn over the years is that we need to dive in and just reflect all of our life, like take that time to get close and intimate with God, develop our relationship with him there, and let all of the other areas be impacted by that. And so if we don't have the relationship, if we don't start from that place of, I love God, he loves me, I've been saved, I've been healed, then the rest doesn't really pan out. So it's interesting because our pastor was just doing a sermon series on reclaiming and redefining what the word prosperity means. Because it's in the Bible. We have the word prosperity in the Bible, but it's been highly abused and manipulated by people who want to just take your money and say you're going to be a millionaire. Like, that's not prosperity. What God says in the Bible about prosperity is that it's just as much about your spiritual health as it is anything else. Honestly, more so, because we're storing up treasures in heaven and we are developing this wealth inside of us where we can be like Jesus, who's been out in the wilderness for 40 days starving and still feel like we have everything we need there. That is, to me, a spiritual prosperous life, a spiritually full, healthy life. And from that, when you are that kind of person who, no matter your circumstances, is going to be connected to God and feel whole and balanced and complete through that, you become this unstoppable force that can accomplish anything. And God will bring the resources to the people who cling on to that. Absolutely. So it becomes, the wealth as we understand it in the modern world becomes a byproduct of our spiritual wealth, in my mind.
That's good. Because I always say, it's all aligned in the Lord. Everything we do, everything we are, everything we be, everything we be is in, it has to come together in the Lord. Now, in that book also, or maybe it wasn't the book, I might've seen it in maybe your introduction. I had it in my notes because I keep my notes, and I went back and looked at my old notes, and I had written this statement. So you tell me if I got this from you or not. You were talking and you said instructions does not mean restrictions.
Oh, yeah. That's so...
Talk a bit about that.
Well, God gave us a lot of what looks like instructions, mostly because we were handed it in a book and it's written down and it's lacking the like direct, like you and I can see you face to face. We can have, even though we're not in person, we have this ability to hear tone of voice, see body language, and get the full extent of communication. But when you see God's instructions written down for us on paper, we're only getting 7% of the communication. The other 93% is filled in when we have the relationship with the Holy Spirit, but not just on the page necessarily. So a lot of times people start reading the Bible and they just see this guy telling you what to do. This guy who's saying, do this and do that. And he's not even really telling me why. And, but the why is part of what the Holy Spirit fills in. So as we start to walk with God and we have that relationship with him, we start to learn the value. And I had this revelation one day because Psalm 1 is talking about how we meditate on his law day and night, and we become like this tree planted by living waters. It's like an exact image of what it says in Revelation at the tail end, where it says there's this tree of life and the waters, right? Like the whole picture is reflected right there. And I started to realize that if we just do what we can to find the value, see the value in why God told us to do the things he did, it's not restrictions, it's liberty. All the things he told us, like don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't kill, resolve your conflicts, they were all meant to give us abundant life, to bring us into our best state of being, to help us navigate being in community the most effectively and to walk in love. And I value that rather than seeing it as a dictator telling me what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that. And we do have to, I think one of the things that's very important is as we delve into the scriptures is to make sure that we're taking the time to truly study, to really deep dig into history, to make sure that what we are bringing forward and presenting to people is really aligned with what God had to say, is really aligned with what Jesus' teachings are and not just surface. Because I think a lot of times we'll get ourselves in trouble when we just take a scripture and we start running with it and we're trying to beat everybody with the scripture.
Right. And that's why, good pastors can take one verse and do a whole sermon series. They can do a whole hour talking about this one sentence, looking at the nuances and the subtleties and the history behind the context and the context within the passage and really digging into like what it truly means, looking into the original language, like what's the subtext of the words that they used here. There's so much richness in the Bible that a lifetime of study, if you had started from birth and lived this fruitful long life, you still wouldn't have all of it because God is so incomprehensibly amazing and perfect beyond what we understand. So, if you ever feel like your well is dried up in studying the word, then that's a you thing. That's not the God thing, because he gave us more in that book than we can even process.
Yeah, I like that. When I think of perfect love, it's that love that encompasses looking beyond our shortcomings, because sometimes people don't love themselves, but looking beyond our faults as well as looking beyond others' faults. You used a passage of scripture in this particular book, and I wrote it down. It was Isaiah 58:2. And you were talking about laying foundations.
Remind me which spot that is. Okay.
Isaiah, I Oh my goodness. I know it was Isaiah 58 and 2.
Oh, can you read it for me real quick?
Yeah, I did write it down. Let me read it.
Okay.
Let me read it. And it says, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Oh, yes. I love that verse so much. I'm just still a little sleepy brain from being sick. So, Isaiah 58:2 is such an amazing passage. It was a revelation when I read that, because
let me make one correction. Isaiah 58:12, not 2.
12. 12. Sorry. Yeah. Isaiah 58:12 is amazing. So when it talks about being a repairer of the breach and restorer of places to dwell in, to me, when God was talking to me about perfect love, there were two components to that. Okay. First of all, perfect. Our idea of perfect is different as humans than God's idea of perfect. He has the right definition, but his reflects mercy and grace. It's not, it is letter perfect, but it's not the way that we understand letter perfect. His perfection is holy perfection. But then also the word love, the way that we define it as humans is so super messy to the point where nobody even has a definition for the word anymore. I've asked so many people, what does this word mean? Like, give me a definition like you would look for in a dictionary. And they can't say anything that communicates understanding about what it actually is. So God made it so clear about the truth and the grace that Jesus was this marriage of truth and grace in himself. There was honesty, but there was also that mercy and that forgiveness and that second chances, even though we're not necessarily due them. And so to me, when we repair the breach and we restore the streets to dwell in, we make those two things stop being opposed to each other, because there's a lot of people who live in one camp or the other. They live in the truth camp where it's all like, let me throw all this at you like bullets. And, you know, this is what it is, And there's no forgiveness and no mercy. And there's a lot of people in the modern world now who live in the grace camp where it's like, everything is forgiven. Nothing matters anymore. Nothing holds any definition by the meaning of truth. And so people get at odds with each other. They get on opposite sides and they pick a side of the fence. But those two are meant to marry together so that we can look at the truth, be honest about what's happening in the world, but meet it with the grace that will allow it to change. And so that compassion that we get out of that marriage of truth and grace restores our ability to be community, to live together, to work together, because nobody is perfect but God alone. And so when we're trying to work together in community, you talk about publishing, like even working together with your editors and your publishers and all the different people that the components, like the person who's proofreading it and giving you feedback, like your pastor reads it and you're like trying to get thoughts about it. Like all of them are people we have to work with. They could say the wrong, do the wrong thing, give you the wrong, you know, it's all possible because none of us are perfect. So if we can identify and just be honest about things like, yeah, this needs a correction. Yeah, this was really great. And then meet those things with the grace that allows it to heal and change. Then we just move on. We create fruitful things out of that. Growth is allowed to happen. But without the two of them together, they fail separately.
I like that. That's rich. All right. I hope y'all are listening in tune, okay, to what Angelina is saying to us on today. So we talked about her book, Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, and she's working on a new project. And the reason I wanted her to talk a little bit about the new project is because, remember I said, yeah, we start with one project and then many of us develop and we add. There are some people that write a book and they just want to say they wrote a book to tell people they wrote a book. They don't care if they really even sell a copy, but they just met that goal. But some of us want to write our books and really build our brand, build our business. And so that's what Jolina is doing. So tell us a little bit about the book that you are working on now, just to get our thoughts flowing so that we can start thinking about getting this book. So why don't you do that?
So the book I'm working on right now is called Redeemer. So when I wrote Perfect Love, the Hero's Journey, like I said, I thought it was going to be the only book I would ever write. And one of the best pieces of criticism and feedback that I was given by my women's pastor at my church was that I don't have to put everything in one book. It was revolutionary because I was really trying. I really wanted to stuff all the things God was pouring into my mind into one book. But that's not digestible. That's not really going to help people to understand and process it. And one day I was in a leadership class at, with my the male pastor at my church, and he was talking. He gave us an assignment about reading one chapter of the book of Matthew every night and writing leadership lessons that we pulled from observing Jesus as a leader. And he handed back my first assignment. And he had a little A+ on it. And he's like, I loved your feedback and your thoughts here. And I'd love to see you do a book on this. And it was like, God just dropped it in my heart. You need to bookend Perfect Love, a Hero's Journey. So I wrote a shorter book called Redeemable that is like a prequel sequel. I wrote it after Perfect Love, but it's supposed to come before it, kind of like a little evangelism tool about why we walk with God daily and we don't just accept a ticket to heaven and be done with it. So this Redeemer book is meant to be about us copying Jesus as our Redeemer. We are supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ, or like Paul says, copy me as I copy Christ. So this whole book is that it's a much more elaborate study into the book of Matthew, following along and pulling observational lessons from Christ, not the most obvious ones, more like this verse. When I looked at it, this is what God put on my heart about any the experience that I've pulled from walking with God and being a leader in the church over the years. This is what God is showing me through this passage is so important. Little subtleties and nuances. And my hope is not only that it will help people in their own study of scripture to be able to look for the nuances like that and listen to when the Holy Spirit is inspiring them to see another piece of it, another angle of the picture, but also to encourage leaders in the modern world to really step up. And there's no way I could have put all of this into Perfect Love, a Hero's Journey. There's just no way. Honestly, like, not possible. But as I continue to walk with God, I learn new things. I grow in new ways. I have new experiences. And creative people who have the desire to put their information out in the world to see are not going to stop growing and learning after you write that first book. There's so much to continue sharing. So that's really where this book came from. It's all leadership lessons. And then my favorite part is the tail end of the book. I reached out to a bunch of my most favorite pastors that I have worked with in our regional area, and some of them beyond that I know online and stuff, who've been in ministry for 10 years or more. And they're each giving a pearl of wisdom. So like a 2-page or so article talking about what they would like to pass on to the next generation of leaders in the body of Christ, because I'm tired of us trying to reinvent the wheel. We need to take what has already been established and build on that, so that the kingdom can really exist on the earth and not just be this notion that we're dreaming about, but this new person comes in and says they have to do it this way. And, you know, we need to be working together and building on what has been laid before us already.
That's good. Okay, so I look forward to this book. I did not know you had the little sequel, prequel, rewrite, rural.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to happen.
but that's good. And guess what? Even though you brought it on after, it doesn't matter. It still goes before in certain projects and different things that you are doing. So I really like this title, Redeemer. Being the example of Christ, what better example can we be? One of my hashtags, my favorite hashtags that I did, that I created was #I live for Christ.
Yeah.
Like, who better to live for than Christ? And then I did a book series called Centered in Christ, because who better to be centered in than Christ?
Absolutely. That's actually a big point in the book too. Like, if we're not centered in Christ, it's really hard to lead for him, because he's really the one leading through us, and we need to be humble and subservient to what he wants us to do.
Yes, yes. We must follow that example, but somebody has to be the example for us to be able to mm-hmm. follow that. that example. That's why discipleship is so important. And I know you do a lot of discipleship. So your kingdom work is vast. So I asked you before if you had gone the traditional route of publishing or the non-traditional route of publishing. And you said you went the non-traditional. I want to ask a question because people ask this many times. Why did you go with the non-traditional over traditional?
Well, if I'm being honest, I think it's going to become the traditional. I think it's going to flip-flop over time. What I've noticed with self-publishing is that, first of all, I have complete control and ownership over my content. And that was the most important thing to me. If God's going to inspire me to write a book and I'm going to be trying to teach people, I want it to be, if I'm going to take ownership for what's in that book, I don't want anybody to have the right to change my words, even one word, because words are so specific. And even just changing an A or like leaving an article out of a sentence can change the entire meaning in writing. It's so critical to me. Like, that was the most important part. It does mean that I have to carry the load of promoting my material and like getting it to people rather than having somebody who markets for me. But I think that's about the only downfall, because it didn't cost me anything other than what I would elect to do. But even then, like, there's a lot of people when you get into this industry who you can swap services with. You know, I have a friend who I am editing his book and he's going to proof mine once it's done. So we make those swaps. I have a friend who does graphic design and I babysit her kids sometimes. So she can just, you know, design covers. Like, if you get connected in the body of Christ, you're going to find people who can help you make it very, like, Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey cost me $0. Zero. I didn't have to pay anything. So it's, I think for me, it was the way that gave me the most freedom and liberty to speak as I felt God was speaking. It gives me the ability to go back and, you know, make my tiny little tweaks whenever I want to, you know, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm like, oh, that sentence should have been flipped around to make more clear sense, I can just do it and it's done in a couple clicks of a button and I don't have to go through a whole bunch of people, you know? So there's a lot of liberties that it gave me, but, you know, freedom is a responsibility. It has its benefits and it has its responsibilities. So, you know, some people will find that the self-publishing route is too much freedom for them. And I think that's why the publisher routes are still going to exist. But even still, you can independently hire an editor and independently hire proofers and independently hire a graphic designer to do those components for you. So really it's just like formatting. Gosh, the first book I wrote, what I wouldn't have given to have the money to pay someone to format my book and get those like 4 weeks of my life back. but I learned my lesson. So now when I go and self-publish a book and I know like what I'm going to be doing with it, I will go into KDP directly, download the, and I'll just type the format, like write my rough draft into the formatting. So I don't have to go back and do it later, you know? So if you learn the little tricks and find your way around, for me, that is the most navigable. For somebody else, it may not be the best route. But it really just depends on how much freedom and independence you would like to have.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things for people to know is you can go either route. It's your choice. It's your mm-hmm. choice. And now even the big five, the traditional companies now even have, because it's so prominent now, self-publishing. They even have self-publishing entities under their organizations yeah. because they want to grab those monies into their company. Right. I think the most important thing is, like Angelina said, is making sure that you have ownership of your own work, that you have that creativity, that creative ability to make the decisions as to what you want your book to say, how you want it to flow, what you want it to look like, without somebody saying, well, if you put it over here, we're going to change it. And whatever we change it to, you are obligated because you signed a contract.
Yeah.
And you got to live with this. So I've talked with many people that have gone that route, but I've talked to people who've gone traditional publishing, and it worked out well. So I just think it's really about what you're willing to do, because as was said, as a self-publisher, you're going to have to do a whole lot of things. And the first time you self-publish, and I'm going to say this for everybody, if you've never self-published and you think you want to, attend a workshop on self-publishing, attend some type of masterclass or something on self-publishing. I know that there's a whole lot of stuff on YouTube. It really is, and it's great stuff. But at some point, you're going to be overwhelmed with everything you're seeing, and there's going to be variances in things. So to go and take a course that has already been laid out, that's going to give you the tools and guide you through. For instance, I do a course, and it's called Jumpstart Your Writing. And it's a 3-hour workshop, and you get the foundation that you need. Why? Because some people think they wrote a book when all they wrote is 5 pages of content.
Yeah.
Some people think they're ready to publish when all they have is 10 pages of content. And so to understand what terminology really means and how it needs to be aligned correctly, and gaining that foundation before you start building, because what's the purpose of building a 20,000 word book to find out that it's incohesive and you've got to discard more than you are able to keep? So having that foundation and a structure is very important. So I'll ask you this question, Angelina. Since you said you self-published, did you have the opportunity to grab a hold of someone and go through something like that? And if you didn't, would you like to have done that? So that's my question.
You know, when I first started, I was green. I was very green. And I did not have the resources or the connections in the community to have the help. I really wish I did. I could not support everything you just said more. Like, the details make so much difference when you're self-publishing, or even when you're like going through a mainstream publisher. I've heard so many horror stories from people who did not read the fine print of the contract, and they just signed it in excitement because they're going to get an advance. And then later they are just very upset and hurt by everything that happened out of it. Like, it did not go at all the way that they thought it would. And in self-publishing, the little details, like I have a friend who self-published their book without a copyright page, because they just, it didn't occur to them that it was supposed to be there. People who, like, even when I self-published my very first book, my computer, I don't know what happened, but it flipped all of my apostrophes backwards. And so I literally hit the publish button, ordered my first like batch of books, and every single one of them had backward apostrophes, all 350 pages. It was so like little things that your eye is just not going to catch. But you know what? It looks and feels weird. You know what way that's supposed to sit. Like, the details are so important. And honestly, like, if you don't use a second set of eyes, you're just going to imagine that it's there. You're going to imagine that you had all the pieces. You have to have somebody help you look through it, sift through it, read it, and tell you. Like, I've actually come to find that with self-publishing, the author copies are invaluable, because it's a lot easier to hand somebody something that's actually a bound book that just says on the front, like, you know, this is not for resale, to like hand them that and let them read it and mark it up. Cause it costs me like what, $1 or $2 to order that. They can write all over it and hand it back to me. And I have notes to go back in and make all my updates and consider and discuss. But when you just hand them like computer copies of, you know, Word document pages, it's just really hard to get through. So, you know, the little things, but the ability to see it as a book and read it and notice like, hey, this whole paragraph left me with loads of questions, or I feel like you just had this wild chunk here where there were no relational stories and I felt like I was taking a class, but then over here and over there, you had these great stories. Like, you need to be able to have that feedback, that guidance, that support. Everybody, nobody is the exception, no matter how awesome and talented you are. We all need the extra eyes.
I totally agree. I can look back to my first book and I can totally agree. That's what I'm going to say. Totally agree. And at some point 100%. we have to go back and start looking and say, did I write that?
Did those words actually come out of my
mouth? when you're in it, you can miss it. That's why you have to have, when I did my first book, I did not have other eyes on my book, y'all. I sold it. It sold well, but the point was, when I went back and looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh. And it wasn't even just the first book. It was a second book. There was some things, a third book, but eventually I got it right, y'all. But once I recognized I got something wrong, what did I do? Like Angelina said, we go back and we have the opportunity to fix those things. And that's the wonderful thing about books on demand. BOD, books on demand, meaning if I see something wrong in my book or someone brings it to my attention, I can go right into that document, fix it, upload it again, no extra cost, no cost to me, re-upload it in the system, and then have the newest version available for people within 72 hours. Meaning there's nothing wrong with the other version. I just noticed some adjustments that I can make that I believe is a better product. It advanced the value of the book, but it was valuable to start with. But we all experience these type of things when we do self-publishing. But see, when you go through a traditional publisher, they might offer you maybe one opportunity to correct things within a certain amount of time, and then that might be it. And what you have is what you have. Yes. Yeah. So listen, y'all see how fast our time has gone today, but I want to thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you coming in, listening to the podcast, and just excited that Jolina was able to come in with us today, show her beautiful face, the love of the Lord shining through, and just share with us what's going on with her books, as well as what's going on in her world. Angelina, before we end, I want you to tell everyone how they can reach out to you. If they have any questions about anything you've shared today, I want people to be able to access the people that come on the show directly. And also, how can they get the book that is already out? And if they are interested in the book that is coming, to reach out to you. So how can they reach out to you? And if they want to purchase the book that is already out on Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, which I would encourage you, is a wonderful read. It's a beautiful read. How can they do that?
Everything is linked through my website. So if you go to www.peaceistheroad.org, you can link to my YouTube, my Facebooks, you can contact me. I have hyperlinks to be able to order my books. Pretty much everything is accessible there. So peace as in P-E-A-C-E.
All right, y'all. So reach out to Angelina for the current book, Perfect Love, A Hero's Journey, or the upcoming book, Redeemer. Redeemer, coming to you soon. But thanks again, Angelina.
Bye-bye,
everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vanette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, johnapublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.